Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, great that you're back with us, and I have a quick question for you. Are you car shopping again?
No, I've decided to prioritize marital harmony over future car buying decisions for now.
Very wise, very wise. But it is a hint about what we're going to talk about today, Chris, because we're going to ask the question and maybe answer the question, is it a good time to buy a new car? New data gives us some hints on that. And we'll give you the details coming up. I don't want to break up your marriage with this. General Motors and NVIDIA have teamed for a couple of big new initiatives involving artificial intelligence. Of course, what else would we talk about? And we'll tell you about both of those. Tesla has gotten a green light on the next phase of its robo-taxi initiative, and we'll give you more on that. And California EV drivers could lose a special perk by the end of the year. We'll tell you what it is and why it may go bye-bye coming up. Chris, do you get any special perks in Maine having an EV?
Yeah, there are some reasonably generous perks here, but we could talk about that a little later on.
Yeah, or not, but we could. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my just-released new book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and, of course, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as your longtime listeners to the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, how you can save some money on your car. And Chris, what vehicle will you discuss with us this week?
I'm excited to talk about it. It's the 2025 Toyota Tacoma TRD Off-Road. It's a pickup truck that got updated last year.
Yeah, very, very cool. I like that vehicle a lot, but we'll see how you liked it. My test vehicle this week is the 2025 Volkswagen Jetta GLI. I had a chance to thoroughly test it in and around the Phoenix area recently, and I'll tell you all about that a little later in the show. We have a terrific guest for you. Jason Norton is Director of Benchmarking, Auto Benchmarking at J.D. Power, an expert on vehicle dependability. And who doesn't want a dependable car, right? They write the book on that, so I think you'll enjoy that interview. So we have a ton of show for you this week. We want you to stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Lowe's knows what makes SpringFest savings even better are member-only doorbuster deals. Right now, rewards members can save $40 on an Allen & Roth Chesler Gold Faucet. Was $99, now $59. Plus, save $110 on a Kobalt 40-volt battery trimmer and blower combo kit. Was $279, now $169. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/24 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. Cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turnaround, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at johndeere.com.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built, providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill. Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your boat, boat wins.
What are you going to do? Take the boat out for a spin or go mail something?
Boat wins!
Are we cleaning the patio or taking the boat out fishing?
Boat wins!
Are we skipping that eye exam to go sailing?
Boat wins!
Rescheduling eye exams can be a nightmare.
All right, fine. Eye exam, then boat.
Yeah! With Progressive, you can bundle your boat with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings on your boat. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to America on the Road. Chris Teague, this is Jack Nierad back with you. And Chris, glad you're back with us after a week's absence. Always great to have you on the show. And as rightly you should be as the co-host of the show. It is news time. And I know that the Teague family buys vehicles on a much more rapid basis than the Nierad family buys vehicles. This might be actually a pretty good time to do that, although I think you said in the last segment that you're prioritizing marriage over new vehicles. Well, wise move. That's what kept me married for 30-plus years, is prioritizing marriage over vehicles. But vehicle affordability has reached its best level since mid-2021. This according to Cox Automotive and Moody's Analytics, their vehicle affordability index. Several factors, price decreases, that's an eye-opener, income growth and favorable economic conditions. It's not like there's a ton of movement here. New vehicle, the average price for a new vehicle dropped by 1.3% in February, and the average monthly payment also decreased by 1.1% to $748. So I guess that's a good thing. The number of weeks, this always amazes me, the number of weeks of median income needed to purchase the average new vehicle dropped to 37.2 weeks in February, a slight decrease from 37.7 in January. I mean, what's your reaction to all this, Chris? I mean, a lot of people are spending a lot of money on cars, I think is my reaction.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here shaking my head. I mean, we're talking about a slight decrease, but the numbers now are light years ahead of where they were, what, in 2019 before the pandemic shut everything down. I mean, I guess we should be thankful that we're not still talking about $50,000 and average transaction prices for new vehicles. But it'll be interesting to see where the prices end up at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, vehicle price was actually slightly lower most of last year, but we have some more favorable economics going on now. So as always, I always kind of find this kind of amusing. They say that higher income households are benefiting more than lower income households. That kind of works on pretty much everything, right? I mean, if you have higher income, things are pretty much better for you than if you have lower income.
Surprise to no one.
Yes, exactly. Well, this should be maybe surprising to no one either. General Motors and NVIDIA are teaming up for AI in cars. Of course, AI is just the buzz letters, not buzzwords, I guess, but buzz letters going on. And these are two big companies in that. And this is what I found interesting, too. Not only are they going to team up for next generation vehicles and driver assistance systems, which we might have assume. They're also teaming up about manufacturing and making manufacturing more streamlined and useful. GM is going to incorporate NVIDIA's Drive AGX for advanced driver assistance systems, in-vehicle safety enhancements. That's good. We're seeing this thing about the software-defined vehicle. What's your take on that overall?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been moving in that direction for a while. We've talked about how automakers have stopped advertising powertrain numbers and specifications in favor of screen sizes, processor power, safety features, things like that. You know, I think it can be a good thing for some people, right? You can buy a vehicle and keep it and add features to it over time, you know, buy software updates and things like that without needing to buy a new vehicle. But I mean, I think for some of the old curmudgeons in the group, you and I probably included, you know, we just kind of miss fiddling with the vehicles ourselves, right? You know, once it reaches a point, you just kind of, too much tech is too much. But that's definitely the direction we're headed. We're already well down the road.
Right. I'm also wondering about people spending more money on their cars and actually getting subscriptions for their cars. Over time, that can run up. I mean, we see a lot of ads now on, what subscriptions do you have? You know, people don't even remember what subscriptions do you have. And, you know, we're trying to get a refund on a subscription that dates back to 2019 that, we never knew and I don't believe we signed up for. I haven't heard the resolution of that yet. But this is interesting to me, too. They're developing digital twins of GM assembly plants to do virtual testing and production simulations to try to reduce downtime. I mean, that's kind of cool stuff.
I think that's actually more interesting than the NVIDIA technology in the vehicles, right? This is kind of the first time we're hearing that NVIDIA is doing something like this with an automaker. But with the technology that it has, they can run millions and millions and millions of simulations and find the inefficiencies. So I think it's a good thing for them, especially where EV profit margins and other vehicle profit margins are so tight and maybe even become tighter as time goes on.
Right. Tesla is getting the okay to test robo-taxis in California. They have their first regulatory approval in the state of California that they exited, actually. The California Public Utilities Commission has granted Tesla a charter party carrier permit, which we all need. Well, maybe we don't all need. But this is what they're allowing the company to do, to own and operate vehicles that it will transport its own employees in. This isn't for typical robo-taxi use with the general public. That is to come later. This is with employees. So I guess the Tesla employees are the first test subjects here. Certainly, Tesla is looking at robo-taxis and the ride-hailing business as a lot of its future. So it's kind of interesting that this is going forward. I think as electric vehicle sales are cooling, and heaven knows there's a lot going on with Tesla these days, this is a way forward for them. I'm curious as to your take on all that.
Yeah, for a while there, we thought Tesla might be focusing pretty much exclusively on autonomous taxis and robo-taxis. They had rumored to cancel their cheap vehicle project and everything else. But for them to use this or to start off using this as an employee transportation method, I think it's pretty smart, right? So they can get some of the details worked out in a closed environment before they start hitting the streets and maybe racking up some negative press like Cruise did last year. So I think for Tesla, this is probably the safest and smartest way to kind of roll this out.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that it's happening in California. I would thought a lot of this is, I guess they're doing it in Texas as well, where they are now based. I don't think California has any particular love for Tesla these days, although there is a huge Tesla plant in California. It's employing a lot of Californians. I think it's the only automaking plant in California, as a matter of fact. So I guess California shouldn't be too cranky about the company. Speaking of California, though, which is the state in which I live, they're about to cancel, or maybe will cancel, carpool access for EVs coming up. Come September, drivers of single occupancy vehicles, or if you're driving alone, you have had carpool access for stickered cars, EVs that got such stickers. But that could expire September 30th. It has to do with federal authorization of this, and we'll see what happens there. California would like to, I think, continue this. In fact, there's a resolution in the California legislature to continue this, but we'll have to see. It's interesting. There are about 194,000 stickers for this issued in 2024, which was a 52% increase over 2023. So a lot of people were getting the carpool stickers. This, at the same time, has a tendency to clog up the carpool lane, which means that the carpool lane is not nearly as effective as it used to be. So I'm curious, what do you think?
That was actually my question. If they're leaving the carpool lane now, what is that going to do to your already so well-tuned traffic mechanisms in Los Angeles? I mean, I'm sure.
Well, I think what they found is there's so many of these electric vehicles in the carpool lane that the carpool lanes aren't much faster than the regular lanes because of all this, you know, excess traffic that's been put into the carpool lane. So that's, you have to balance that out. I mean, you have these lanes that are for these high occupancy vehicles, and heaven knows I use the carpool lanes when I can. It usually is faster. A lot of times these are toll lanes in California too. I don't know whether you're running into toll roads in the east there very much, but that's a big part of what we're dealing with here in terms of carpool lanes and restricted vehicle lanes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, from a California perspective, they've made it very clear that they want people to get behind the wheel of electric vehicles. So that's another way to do it. I think if I'm a gas vehicle owner and I'm seeing them getting special privilege, it might turn me off on EV owners, but that might be a few limited perspective. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see as the Trump administration pulls back some of these incentives nationally, or at least coerces states to pull back on some of these incentives, where they end up and which ones end up continuing and how far into the future.
Yeah, interesting. And we'll see how that unfolds, and we'll see how EVs can live in an environment where they're not subsidized. We'll see how that works out, too. So when we come back, we will be doing some road testing, including the road testing of the Toyota Tacoma and the Volkswagen Jetta GLI. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here, America on the Road.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris T. Jackie Rad with you for road test time. And we've got some swell vehicles. Do you use the term swell ever, Chris? Very few people do, but I do.
Not since I watched Dennis the Menace as a child.
There you go. Well, I'm kind of the Dennis the Menace all growed up. You have a vehicle that's, I think, very interesting at this time of year, maybe, depending on what's going on in weather-wise in Maine. Tell us all about it.
Well, we are now in false spring, Jack, which means that everything is just muddy. There's no more snow on the ground, but the sun is at least out, so I'll take that. I spent the week driving the 2025 Toyota Tacoma TRD off-road. Jack, I believe you drove the Tacoma a few months ago and talked about it on the show, but for me, this was very exciting because I'm a huge Toyota fan, and I particularly enjoyed the Tacoma, even though the outgoing model was one of the more flawed vehicles, I think, in Toyota's lineup for a long time. Yeah. The new model, thankfully, addressed a lot of the issues I had with the old one, but you can get into this vehicle for around $33,000. That's for the base SR trim. It gets a less powerful engine, and it's kind of a stripped-down work truck-type model. My TRD off-road with some options came in at just shy of $50,000, and then you can go up to the limited trim, which goes, above 55, and then there's the TRD Pro, which is even more than that. But, Jack, before I go too far, how long ago was it that you drove the Tacoma, and what are your kind of highline thoughts on it?
I think it was maybe 6 months ago, maybe less than that. I mean, I think I've driven a couple versions of the Tacoma now, of the newest generation. I like it. I think they've addressed virtually all the problems that existed in the old one. And of course, the old one, I think, was, what, like 11 or 12 years in the market without a major redesign. So it kind of made sense that it needed some updating.
I agree. They did a lot of work on this truck, even though it looks almost the same as the old one and it's a little different, but they did a lot of work under the skin. But this truck comes standard with a turbocharged 2.4 liter four-cylinder engine. It's got 278 horsepower in the TRD off-road trim, 317 pound-feet of torque. Jack, you can get an iForce Max Hybrid Turbo 4 in this truck now. So it's got 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. So a significant power jump with the hybrid version for this truck. But I tested just the regular Turbo 4. It comes with an 8-speed automatic transmission, and the TRD off-road has standard 4-wheel drive. I will tell you that the old truck had a V6 engine, which sounds like it would be a little bit more powerful and engaging than a 4-cylinder, but that's not the case here. I think the turbocharger gives you better power for towing. It gives you a more exciting acceleration. Granted, this is still not going to be like an exciting pickup truck. I think if you wanted that, you would opt for like the Ford Ranger Raptor or something in this class with a little bit more grunt. I have not yet driven the hybrid powertrain, Jack. I don't know if you have, but I think the electric motors probably help with the acceleration.
Yeah, they do. And you just feel that torque instantly. I think that's what makes it feel so peppy. It might not even have that much more horsepower. It does, probably. But just that instant torque, I love that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, I felt it in the new Toyota Land Cruiser. So I think it's kind of a similar setup that comes in the new Tacoma. But the TRD off-road has a couple of goodies, not as much as the TRD Pro. It's got Bilstein shocks. It's got a front and rear stabilizer bars with automatic disconnect features. You get 17-inch wheels with all-terrain tires. And then they've added some plastic skid plates underneath, like around the oil pan and some other things. But it's not like a beefy off-roader that a lot of automakers want you to think their pickup trucks are. The four-wheel drive system in this truck is excellent. It's, you kind of a dial turn on this vehicle, so you don't have to think about it. And then the Bilstein shocks, so even though you've got a raised ride height here at least, and I've talked about that a lot, it helps soak up some of the bumps from the potholes and the big cracks in the pavement that we have after 6 months of what seems like an endless winter here. But so, Jack, I think this truck is a lot more capable to drive off-road. It's a lot more comfortable to drive on-road. So I think that addresses, the big issues that the old truck had with drivability. Inside, the TRD off-road comes with cloth upholstery. Mine had heated seats and a heated steering wheel, which is part of a package. You also get a 12.3-inch digital gauge cluster, 14-inch touchscreen, 10-speaker JBL stereo. So you get a lot of technology in this vehicle. And Jack, I want to get your opinion on this. Toyota's updated infotainment system is 100% better than it was just a year or two ago. What do you think of the new system?
It's good. It's still not state of the art, but I think it is such an advance over what they used to have. I mean, they really were slow about adopting things like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. I mean, they were very reluctant to do that for the longest time. And kind of lagged with their infotainment systems, but I think now it's certainly better than passable.
Yeah, it's absolutely workable. It's a lot more responsive. It's easier to see the menus that you're trying to access. It's a brighter display overall, and they come standard with wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Even on the lower 8-inch trim or 8-inch touchscreen, excuse me. So you do get a lot of good features here, and as I said, it's a lot easier to use. Toyota Safety Sense comes standard, so all trucks get adaptive cruise control, forward collision warnings, automatic emergency braking, and so on. My truck added blind spot monitoring with rear cross-traffic alerts and a surround view camera system, and then the TRD Pro, you get some off-road cameras too. So, Jack, I think this truck becomes a little bit more expensive than I thought it would, especially in the higher trims. You know, I think almost $50,000 for a not top trim Tacoma is quite a bit to ask, but the improvements are big time in this truck, and I think if it retains the off-road capability that it had before, which all indications say that it does, a lot of people are going to buy this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly the Tacoma has a decades-long reputation for being a great off-roader, and I think this does nothing but enhance that. I think it's a... I was driving the 2025 Volkswagen Jetta GLI, and of course the GLI is the performance-oriented variant of the standard Jetta compact sedan. I think these days, Chris, these compact sedans are pretty darn big, aren't they? I mean, I was driving this. I drove the Civic recently, and I think even more so in the Jetta, I felt like I was driving almost like a mid-sized car. And of course, then this has sport-oriented design, more modern technology. Yeah, the driving dynamics are better in the GLI than in the standard Jetta, and standard Jetta is nothing to shake a stick at it itself. I had the opportunity to drive it around Phoenix during baseball spring training, which was fun. I was driving from here to there, from Mesa to Peoria and back, and those kind of things, and getting a lot of freeway time in it. I think this is a good-looking vehicle, number one. I think the Jetta is good-looking on its own, and then when you add what you add with the GLI treatment, you get a black upper and lower grills, honeycomb detailing, red accent strip. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I think this is a good-looking vehicle. What do you think about that?
I agree. The GLI touches are nice, and I also agree with your take on the way it looks and drives. I saw a GLI on the road yesterday, and it looks like it would dwarf a Civic or any a Corolla or something like that. So definitely has presence on the road.
Right. Has LED headlights and taillights, an integrated light bar, kind of feigning, looking like an EV, I guess. It is just a good-looking vehicle all the way around, 18-inch machined alloy wheels. It has that optional black package that Chris Teague, I don't think, cares much for, but I thought it looked fairly good on this vehicle. Let's talk about powertrain. 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine, 228 horsepower, rather, 258 pound-feet of torque. Variable valve timing. It has a kind of an interesting thing, a water-cooled exhaust gas routing system that improves efficiency. It lets it run a little hotter, I guess, which turbocharged engines have a tendency to do. I had the vehicle I had the 6-speed manual transmission. This is kind of a straight-up comparison to the Civic Si that also had a 6-speed manual that I tested also in Phoenix about a week or two before this. You can, although in this vehicle, you can get a 7-speed dual-clutch automatic transmission as well. I was kind of glad that I had the 6-speed manual. And, you know, having this and driving in a lot of freeway traffic and just driving in traffic, it's just... I felt fine about this. I mean, what's your take on having a manual these days, Chris?
Yeah, well, I own one and I feel privileged to have it. And it's, I think, one of the best manuals you can buy right now. But Volkswagen's manual is great. I should say the 7-speed dual clutch is also great. I think they do a good job on both. And you know, they make it easy to drive the car and live with, like you say, in traffic and just every day.
Yeah, this also has a torque sensing limited slip differential. So that's good in terms of overall handling. I think they do a nice job with this. A great combination of handling prowess, but, you know, very comfortable, quiet ride quality. Interior, I think, is nice. The GLI has perforated Vienna leather, not Napa leather, but Vienna leather. So I don't, I guess that's from Austria. It has red stitching. The dashboard is redesigned recently. It has an 8-inch floating touchscreen and the Digital Cockpit Pro. That's a 10.25-inch configurable instrument cluster. So, you know, a lot going on there in terms of digitation in front of you. A leather-wrapped steering wheel that's heated. I love the heated steering wheel, of course. And if you had the dual-clutch models, they would have aluminum paddle shifters, but, of course, my vehicle did not have that. I think, you know, inside and out, this is just a good-looking vehicle and very comfortable, too. Have you had a chance to drive a Jetta recently? What's your take on that?
Oh, I think 2023 was the last Jetta I drove, but it was a GLI with the dual-clutch transmission. I think they do a good job with making the interior feel nicer than the price tag lets on, so it's a nicer interior than you get in a Toyota Corolla, for sure. It's nicer than the Hyundai Elantra, I think, in a bunch of ways. And it's spacious. The back seat, we never had any issues with car seats and headroom for the kids and their big car seats. So all around, just a comfortable car. It's one of my favorite in the class, even if some, like the Civic, you say, may drive a little better. But I think the GLI is a solid car.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the Civic drives better. I mean, I really kind of preferred the all-around driving of the Jetta GLI, when I compare the two. And it has a lot of luxury features. It has dual-zone climate control, heated and ventilated front seats. I mean, this is essentially is kind of an economy vehicle in a lot of ways. This I found interesting, too. The early builds had a 12-speaker sound system, and then they switched to a 6-speaker sound system for later builds. I wonder how the people getting later builds feel about that. A lot of good safety stuff. I think all around, there was nothing not to like about this Jetta GLI. I think the price is right, around $32,000, $33,000. Plenty of interior space, huge trunk space, fun to drive. You get the manual or the automatic. It really kind of has it all.
Yeah, I meant to mention it earlier. That's the same engine and transmission that comes in the Volkswagen GTI, the Golf GTI. So you're really getting, you know, 13, 14 fewer horsepower. But that shows you how serious they were with the performance on this car. So it's definitely another check on the list of things, reasons to buy the car.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And I think we had two vehicles that we like a lot in the Toyota Tacoma and the Volkswagen Jetta GLI. When we come back, we'll have a great guest. I think you'll enjoy Jason Norton talking about vehicle dependability. So stay with us for that. And we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Love about spring? It's the season of change, and that means it's time for a closet refresh. Enter Kohl's. With the extra 15% off they have going on, I saved on the latest styles for my entire family, like a cute dress for myself, linen shorts for my husband, and spring jackets for my kids. Just add sunshine and we're set. All thanks to Kohl's. Select styles, some exclusions apply. 15% offer ends March 23rd. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Barbecue season is back.
Hey, it's Ellen.
And this is Sarah Beth.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich is that zesty barbecue sauce. I love that it was a little sweet, a little tangy, and with the mac and cheese,
I feel like I tasted the brown sugar bacon first. It was the absolute best combination. Pro tip, 3 sandwiches are always better than one.
Order the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich and our Coca-Cola on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Spending is out. Loud budgeting is in. Finding more affordable ways to do the things you love is one of the growing trends on social media, and Metro by T-Mobile can help. Whether you're planning to invest your tax return, save it, spend it, or a combination of the three, you can improve your financial situation in 2025 with tips from finance expert Carlos Garcia.
Create a budget for 2025 using the 50-30-20 rule. 50% of your money goes to needs, 30% to wants, and 20% to savings and investments. Automate your monthly bills and your monthly savings. Split your bills for maximum savings with a family phone plan. Metro is offering new customers 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 phones and 4 lines for $100 with no ID required. That brings your phone bill down to $25 per person each month.
With Metro, customers enjoy perks like $5 movie tickets, 15% off Hilton stays worldwide, a free subscription to MLB TV, and Scam Shield protection, all powered by the nation's largest 5G network. Please visit metrobytmobile.com. Sponsored by Metro by T-Mobile.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jason Road back with you, and we have a terrific guest for you. Jason Norton is with J.D. Power. He is an expert on their vehicle dependability study, and thanks so much for being with us, Jason. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, appreciate it, Jack. Thanks for having me on today to talk about our vehicle dependability study.
Yeah, you know, I most people want a dependable car, right? I mean, it's like, you know, about number one on a lot of people's lists. Talk about dependability kind of from a 35,000-foot level and how J.D. Power looks at dependability.
No, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. You know, for J.D. Power's perspective, we have the ability to ask owners about their overall ownership experience over 3 years of ownership. So we also, that's our VDS study, but we also have that ability to look at our IQS study, which is the initial quality. So we measure, you know, over that 3 years of period, and that's how we're looking at it. So we're asking customers about those overall aspects of the vehicle, whether it be their exterior of their vehicle, interior of the vehicle, or their overall performance of the engine, transmission, things like that. And of course, infotainment, which we know is always has some problematic issues this year, or, you know, as technology continues to grow within each of these vehicles. So those are really the core aspects that we're looking at over that 3 years of ownership.
Yeah, I think when a lot of people look at dependability, they're thinking about getting stranded by the side of the road kind of dependability, right? But you're actually looking at much more than that. And, you know, that doesn't seem to be a major issue. It seems like the major issues really revolve more around electronics, things like smartphone integration, those kind of things seem much more problematic over the first years of ownership. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah. This year we saw a big uptick in overall what we consider software defects. So we have the ability to create these different aggregates within our study. So we take all those different attributes and we put them into these aggregates of broken, not working, poor performance, and software defects. This year was actually the first year that we saw an uptick in our software defects. So it actually increased by 20% this year, which was the highest of all the aggregates that we have. So it's definitely continuing to be problematic for customers.
Right. And I think overall, in terms of vehicle dependability, things got a little worse this time around, right?
Cool.
I mean, so
that's right.
And
yeah.
that's largely the reason for that. Dive into that a little bit, would you?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, this year, I think it's important to understand that our vehicle dependability study, again, we're looking at 3 years of ownership. So these were 22 model year vehicles. You know, you think back to that time, it was really a lot of hardships on the OEM itself with those supply chain shortages, creating disruptions in that overall production of vehicles. So it led to some hardships when it came to overall quality. And this year, we did see that 6% increase in overall problems per 100. That's how we measure our different scoring and everything like that. So those problems per 100 increased by 6%, which actually was the highest increase in our study's history. Now, looking back to that initial quality study that we had, very similar. So 90 days of ownership for 22 model years, that's on 11% increase in problems. So on trend with what we saw at 90 days of ownership all the way to 3 years of ownership. So those problems continue to plague customers moving forward. But as you mentioned, a lot is driven by those different technology features coming into the vehicle itself.
Let's define problems a little bit because you know, I think some problems are actual malfunctions, right? But I think also some problems are just the individual owner doesn't understand how the thing works or is having trouble with it, right? And maybe it's working as designed, but the owner can't get it to work. I mean, talk about that a little bit.
No, that's a great point. So we do define things as those broken, not working pieces. So those individual pieces that maybe have broken, where the customer has to go in and get a replacement or a fix on them. But there are also those difficult to operate and difficult to use features. So those are really, you know, infotainment, if you think of that, you know, operating your system, your audio system, difficult to use. A lot of that comes in there. You know, when you think of the hierarchy of finding different menus, different structures within your system, or just even activating simple features like lane keep assist, finding those different aspects. So there's a lot of
unactivating lane keep assist when you want
exactly.
to, right? Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's a great point. So yeah, those are really how we look at different things. And we also look at performance related issues, which, you know, can be, you know, your map being outdated, things like that. So there are port performance issues. There are those broken networking, and then of course, software related issues as well.
Yeah. It seems like one of the things I do as a car tester these days, maybe the first thing I do is pair my phone with the car, right? I'm an Apple user, so I'm an Apple CarPlay guy. But I kind of test that. A lot of times now I'm asked whether I want to connect wirelessly in addition to a wired connection. And as seamless as we'd like that to be, it isn't always that way, right? I mean, talk about that a little bit. I think you found a lot about that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, one of, you know, when we look at the top 10 problems overall in the industry, a lot of it is driven by that you bring your own device into the vehicle. Actually, the number one overall problem this year in the industry is Android Auto, Apple CarPlay not working properly. But a lot of that stems from that Bluetooth connectivity. So you have more wireless features coming into these 22 model years. So when those features don't activate properly for customers, it creates that frustration driving that problem count up. And you think about your device, that's your personal device. You want to bring that into your vehicle. You want to have that seamless connection, as you mentioned. A lot of that comes down to when that's not working properly, then it's going to cause a problem because it's a higher use case for customers to want to use those, use your device. So when that doesn't work properly, you're going to get that problem marked with it. So actually, when we look at our top five issues, Bluetooth connectivity is within that top five as well. So they kind of coincide with each other a little bit there.
Yeah, I think we're seeing intermittent problems there where sometimes you'll connect wirelessly and other times it won't connect when you enter the car. And it's kind of vexing for the owner who is paying for that. You know, it's... Mm-hmm. You're looking at, I'm looking at the stats here in the release, 184 specific problem areas in nine categories. Has that changed over time? Have you added problem areas over time?
Yeah, so the study has been, this is its 36th year in study. So we've evolved over time in the integration. So 2022 was the last update that we had for the study itself. So this is 25, so it's 3 years old now, the study, so that we have the ability to really trend those different problems. But, you know, as we think forward, the study will evolve as it goes forward. So typically we try to keep it around the same problem count, but there's different problems that come in and different problems that leave the study overall. But this year, the VDS are, you know, we have really five core areas where we look at. So we have that, you know, as you mentioned, those nine different categories, that's our problems per 100. But we also look at different areas such as component replacement that don't necessarily go into that problem per 100. So we have some different aspects, including those component replacements. So understanding what is replaced over those last 12 months from a customer perspective. We look at software updates, how those are actually impacting the vehicle itself. Is it having a positive impact or is it, you know, the customers just aren't noticing it? We look at vehicle appeal. Appeal is really defined as how's that overall ownership experience? Is it meeting your overall needs or is it, you know, maybe not hitting the mark after 3 years? Then we look at deterioration. So deterioration we define as looking back at our 90 days of ownership. So seeing how those problems related to what we see now in 3 years of ownership. So we do have a lot of carryover between the two studies when it comes to individual problems that we're able to look at. So those are really the five core aspects. But as you mentioned, when it comes down to scoring, award winning, it all comes down to those problems per 100.
Yeah. Let's talk about vehicle types. I mean, it used to be that we just had conventional cars, and now we have multiple vehicle types. I think you can look at those. Battery electric vehicles, I think the promise was that battery electrics would be much better in terms of dependability, much better. It just, you know, work better because they were simpler, you know, simpler in a lot of ways. That really hasn't panned out yet, has it?
Not too much, no. But when we look at those overall component replacements, we are seeing less components replaced, as you would expect on an EV vehicle. But definitely, they're still more problematic as a whole than what we're seeing with the overall gasoline-type engines that we're seeing. This year was actually a good year for BEVs, if you look at year-over-year history. So this year, BEVs actually improved by 33 problems per 100, where the counterpart, the PHEV, so those plug-in hybrids, actually saw a degradation of 26 problems year-over-year. So kind of, you know, we're starting to see those improvements now that, you know, they're becoming more of a forefront for a lot of OEMs, you know, understanding those individual customer needs. So they're addressing those, but still more problematic than what we're seeing with the gasoline engine variant. So all electric this year was at 223 problems overall, where the gasoline specifically was at 200 problems overall. So still a little bit more problematic overall.
Yeah. Anything specific that is troubling either battery electric vehicles or plug-in hybrid vehicles, or are there a variety of issues they're dealing with?
They are a little bit different than what we're seeing with the overall ICE engine vehicles. I think, you know, when you look at BEV versus PHEV, so those plug-in hybrids versus the all-electric, there are some carryover issues, but a lot of it comes down to technology, and also when you think of tire wear. That's an issue that pops up within the top 10 for both of those products. Both of those different engine variants. And a lot of that comes down to is expectation of customers. So, you know, it's not really being explained to them that these vehicles are heavier. There's, you know, there's different things, different elements that are going to reduce that overall wear in tires. So we are seeing that excessive tire wear really jump up. But a lot of it comes down to the customer expectation, not being, you know, told or maybe understood those differences. You know, when it's your first, you know, new vehicle, electric vehicle, there are some differences. But also we see, you know, that's where these different plug-in issues are going to come into play when you're looking at range reduction, having issues with the actual charging the vehicle, things like that. So there are some unique aspects, but one that really popped up to me and, you know, that was kind of a little bit different when you think of tires, because that's an expensive component to replace, especially when you have to do that, you know, right around those 20,000, 25,000 mile range on some of these vehicles. That's an expensive price tag for a lot of customers.
Yeah, well, and especially when you're expecting that to go at least twice as far.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And I think battery electric vehicles, they're heavier. And they accelerate quicker, both of which are, you know, going to give you more tire wear. So
that's right.
Kind of interesting to point that out, because I don't think a lot of people are aware of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the different torque. I mean, you know, think about it. It's definitely having a different impact on overall tire usage and the way that those tires are worn on the vehicle itself. So, yeah, definitely a hot topic right now in the industry is certainly around those tires and, you know, trying to meet those customer expectations.
Yeah. Let's talk about brands and brands that did particularly well this year. I think the leader is a brand that has been a leader for a while now, right?
That's right. So this year there was a tie between the most award-winning brands. So General Motors received 6, but Toyota, as you mentioned, is historically good with overall dependability in that ownership period that we see within BDS. So they also received 6 segment awards. When we look at those two companies in particular, they perform really well across all their vehicles that they were within the study. GM in particular, when we look at how many award eligible vehicles that they actually had this year, so they had 20 award eligible vehicles. So that's meeting the sample size requirements that we have in the study, which is 100 and more respondents. When we look at the overall top threes that GM was able to produce out of those 20 vehicles, 15. So 75% of their overall portfolio landed within that top three. So a really good year for GM overall, you know, having a lot of good recovery, really improved their overall score. And it wasn't just one brand in particular, it was across all their various brands. When we look at Toyota, you know, a little bit similar story here, but when we think about their overall award eligible vehicles, it was at 14. So 6 of the 14 received an award. That's almost half of their portfolio is receiving an award, which is incredible. So, and they did receive the top overall model this year, which was the Toyota Avalon. So it was the lowest problem model within the study this year. So great job for both of those companies. And it really just shows that dedication to improving problems over that ownership period. But a lot of that comes into designing in quality. So we talk a lot about design problems versus defect malfunction. If you're designing your problems right, it makes it a little bit easier to go and hunt down those defect malfunctions when you're not having to fight, you know, all those different aspects around difficult to use issues or difficult to operate issues.
Well, Jason Norton, your director of auto benchmarking at JD Power, as you well know, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. A lot of great insight here.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time today and looking forward to future conversations.
Yeah, I look forward to it too. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. Jack Nerad back with you, and it is listener question time on our show. It's also our final segment. We love to get your questions and comments, so please send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. Chris, here is a question made for you, an electric vehicle driver and owner. This is from Glenn in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Here's the question. I have heard that electric vehicles use high voltages, so is it safe to charge an EV at home? Are there dangers I should be aware of?
Oh, well, yes, they do use some high voltages, but the highest voltages are at public charging stations, so you're not going to see like the crazy numbers at home. But you generally have two avenues. You have a level one charging, which is using a regular household outlet that's 110 volts, or you can do level two, which is what I have at home here. It's a hardwired installed charger that uses 240 volt, like your washer and dryer or some like your stove, things like that, if you have an electric stove. There are dangers that you need to be aware of. I live in a 250-year-old, almost 250-year-old house. We required significant electrical work before we could support the charger. So I think it's worth having an electrician come to your house and take a look at your wiring to make sure. You're not going to get electrocuted charging in the rain or in the snow. I think these things are pretty well set up to work in all manner of elements, weather elements. But
yeah, but your setup is outside, right? And you're doing it in all kinds of Maine weather, snow, sleet, yeah. Everything you get, right? And I don't think you have any fears of safety.
None whatsoever. The Charger has been outside in the ice, the snow, the hail, the sleet, the rain, so it works perfectly every time.
Well, that wraps up our show for this week. I want to remind people that my new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available in both ebook and paperback form at Amazon. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And of course, as Chris is going to tell us, we're available as a podcast.
Yes, a quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple, Spotify, all the rest. Like us, download us, leave us a review. All of those things help us out, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
Yes, we appreciate your help. We have YouTube and Rumble channels, so you can also help us out by subscribing to those channels. That would be terrific for us. We do appreciate it. We want to thank our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. We really do appreciate that. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. We know you have a bunch of choices, so the fact that you're listening to America on the Road honors us. We appreciate that very, very much. And we hope you join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.